I wonder what is the most important, the most valuable, the most precious thing that you have ever lost. I'm talking about the thing that made you turn the car around and go back to where you had been the last time you had it with you. Or the thing that makes you stop what you're doing and search all over the ground in desperation. Or that feeling of panic that you had when you realized you didn't quite know where the kid was in the store. I am the sort of nuisance who's always misplacing my keys or my wallet or something basic and essential to life, but that's a difference because I always wind up finding them. And there's a difference between that kind of loss and the sort that I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that really matters, that you could not easily replace. It's something personal to you, not an abstract loss, not like hearing a restaurant you used to like to go to had closed, but something of your own that you counted on knowing the presence of, and suddenly it isn't where it ought to be. And it's something of real worth. The loss of it hurts substantially and sentimentally. So it's something you will search for desperately. Today, of course, the best way to bring to mind this idea is to remember the determination, the urgency, the heroism of firefighters and police who went rushing into burning buildings in New York City looking for the lost, looking for the people desperate to find safety. That is a little more immediate to us and a lot more powerful than lost sheep or lost coins. For a shepherd, sheep are an investment. They equate to welfare and livelihood and the difference between comfort and poverty. Even if you have 100 sheep, every one matters. While I was in sabbatical, I spent my Sundays visiting with rectors who, like me, pastor a church and also have a job somewhere else in the world. And one of those rectors that I visited with is a sheep farmer in Virginia. I learned in talking with him just how closely calculated the whole sheep farming thing is. How much of his success depends on getting all of the sheep he started with to market at the end of the process. He had lost some of his lambs to a coyote strike earlier this year, and when I visited with him in May, he was still beating himself up about it. It's a little easier maybe to understand the value of 10 silver coins, just like it's easier to understand the importance of losing 10% of what you have instead of 1% of your sheep. But what really ties these two stories together is the deep understanding Jesus has in teaching these stories about how oriented we are around loss. It means much, much more for us to lose something than to gain something. Behavioral scientists have known that for years. We'll more readily choose a course of action if it's described to us as a way of avoiding loss than we will if it's described as a way of making gains, even if on the average the two courses are the same. Losing things we value hurts in a visceral way. The idea of what Jesus is teaching this morning is to try to help us understand something not about us, but about God. That twinge you feel when you suddenly realize you've lost that precious thing, the panic, the urgency, the alarm, it turns out that is exactly how God looks for us, thinks about us, and worries about us. Now that may sound comforting, but when you see it from our angle, it might be, a little unsatisfying. After all, we are the ones who have been found. We're in church. We have some sense of God's presence in our lives. We're not absolutely certain at all points of the day or the week or the year just what that presence might be, but we know we belong to God and we belong among God's people, and so we aren't lost. We are found. So looking at it from our perspective, sometimes it feels a little bit as though God is spending a lot more time and effort and urgency on, well, other people and not on us. We like the idea of being searched out. But if we've already been gathered in, we may not feel quite so appreciated. And seeing it from that perspective can make us a little petulant, can make us unappreciative. We have to remember that to be found by God is to be made part of God's work. So instead, we should think of it differently. You might try it this way. Later today, when you go out in the rain, on whatever errands you have to do, or tomorrow, when you go off to school or to work, just take a moment to consider the crowds of people that you see every day, your classmates, your colleagues at work. Go to the mall and look at the throngs of people wandering around aimlessly this afternoon, or go and catch a plane and wait in the TSA line and think about the throngs of people that are standing in front of you that you have to wait for. And then think of this. Many of those people, maybe even most of those people, are lost. They're the people God is trying to chase after. They probably have no idea of themselves as lost. They probably think they know exactly where they are. But God sees it differently. God is interested in the navigation of our souls and not the clarity of our location. So our task in the story is not to be the lost sheep or the lost coin that rolled under the bureau. We are supposed to be disciples taking part in God's work. And that means we are supposed to be seeking, urgently seeking, the people who are lost and who are, whether they know it or not, in burning buildings. It may not be the best idea to tell them, "You're lost." Most folks will probably wonder just what you mean by that. But it may well help to share with them what we have found here so that they may be found too. Amen.